Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. You're listening to the voice of Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. You know, we've been talking about COVID with you for a few years now, but other things have popped up as well, concerns like the flu and some of these other viruses. Where should we start today? I've got a little bit of everything, including the measles, by the way.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about that, John, you know, because there's a case of measles that's been identified in the Chicago area. Apparently, somebody was traveling abroad. This individual had not been vaccinated for the measles and actually contracted the measles abroad and brought it back here. I'm not surprised to hear about this. We've been talking, John, about vaccine hesitancy, unfortunately going beyond just COVID vaccine. I think we all, people of our generation, would have thought that measles had been eradicated. And for the most part, it was for a long time in the United States. But the number of people today who have not been vaccinated for measles is getting to a scary level. And I think we need to really encourage people, if they have not been vaccinated or if their children have not been vaccinated for the normal type of vaccines that we've been giving now for decades, please get that done, because measles can be a really bad infection if you get it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what... I didn't think measles was that big a deal. And frankly, I didn't realize that it was that uncommon. This is a big deal?
Yeah, measles can be a big deal. Back in the day, I think a lot of us remember when people got measles all the time before there was an effective measles vaccine. But there can be all kinds of bad effects of a measles infection, including some weird brain stuff that can happen. I mean, it's just a bad disease to get, and it's like close to 100% avoidable if somebody receives two vaccinations, the first one and then a booster. It's like, over time, I think it's something like 97% effective, John. I mean, it really works. So I hope people would get that vaccine. And if you have kids or grandchildren out there that have not gotten their normal pediatric vaccinations, it's really important that people do that. We don't want to see a recurrence in pediatric infections that we thought we were done with. But if people don't get vaccinated, it's possible for these things to come back.
Well, this is just kind of a tangent, but I was listening to a podcast the other day about malaria and how they have been able to come up with ways to minimize malaria, but then whatever it is that causes malaria mutates into a form that is resistant to the vaccines or the medications. I don't know. Are you tracking what I'm talking about here, that malaria is on an uptick in parts of Africa and India and so forth?
Yeah, malaria is the biggest killer of kids in Africa. I mean, it's still a big public health problem. What you're referring to is that the parasite, which is what causes malaria, can become resistant to the medication that we have. We're now working on a vaccine that hopefully will work against malaria, but it's not here yet. Mm. We have to hope that it will. This is a gigantic public health problem in parts of Africa. I mean, it's hard, John, for us in America to understand how big a problem this is in Africa. And there's been a lot of work done in this over many years. Actually, one of the major initiatives of the Gates Foundation, Bill Gates Foundation, they've spent, it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars now, working on malaria eradication in Africa with some success, but not at all what they had hoped. And I think the solution here eventually will be an effective vaccination against malaria.
It's funny how these parasites or viruses adapt. One of the methods they were using to reduce the rate of malaria in Africa was making sure that everybody had sleeping nets, nets to put over yourself at night to keep the mosquitoes off of you, and that diminished the amount of malaria. It was one of the schemes that they were using effectively. But what happened was then the parasite or the mosquito anyway evolved so that now people were getting malaria from mosquitoes during the day. That became the dominant source of malaria transmission. So if you beat it one way, suddenly it finds another way. They didn't used to get malaria much from mosquito bites during the day, but now that happens more often than not, which is just...
Yeah, you know, it really... I would say, John, if this really speaks to the interaction of human beings and other types of organisms in the natural world, how... things keep evolving,
yeah.
right? And we need
yeah.
to evolve with it. And that means our prevention, our treatments, we have to constantly be vigilant. And that's certainly one of the great lessons that we take from the whole COVID experience, right? A never seen before virus causes a worldwide pandemic and all the death and suffering, all the upset in our lives. And you wonder, do we really learn the lessons from this, like we should? You know, well, so far, there's only been about 7 million people that have received the new COVID vaccine. I mean, that's 7 million. That's good. But we got a long ways to go. People need to get that vaccine, particularly the groups that we have been talking about, older folks, people with immunocompromised states, chronic diseases. It's critically important to get that vaccine. And that should be a lesson that we learned over the last 3 years.
The number I throw around is 13 billion doses of the vaccine administered around the world. So if you're worried about adverse effects, think about that, how much we have prospered, even if there's the occasional very rare ill effect from the vaccine. 13 billion doses delivered, and that's why we're here. 847 said, can you please ask the doctor if shingles is contagious and if you can get measles more than one time?
Yeah, so the shingles can be contagious, particularly for somebody who's not had chickenpox before or hasn't had the vaccine, younger people. We do get concerned at times for a pregnant woman pregnancy can be thought of as an immunocompromised state being around somebody who has active shingles. So the key thing with shingles is that when someone has shingles, if they still have active shingles blisters, those things can have the chickenpox virus in it, and that's how somebody could be infected. Once those things crust over, then the risk of infecting somebody else really drops down. Once somebody has measles, to answer that, it would be extremely rare to get infected again.
By the way, doctor, here's a question. Can you ask the doctor, I'm trying to get my flu shot next week, but I'm going on a cruise in January, and I want to know the best time to take the COVID shot. For people that are traveling, doctor, how do you advise they line their shots up?
So let's start with the premise that with COVID vaccine, we have the most protection for about 3 months after we get the vaccine. So if somebody's going on a January cruise, we're now getting towards the end of October, right? I guess December, the middle of October, November, December. I would wait a couple weeks, maybe do it the first part of November, the COVID, if you're going to go on that cruise in January.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing with the influenza, the flu vaccine. I'd wait a few more weeks to get the influenza vaccine. You can do them both, the COVID shot and the flu shot. So with that January cruise, yeah, I think wait till November. The good news is we have very little influenza right now.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the Chicago area, a little bit more down in the southeast of the United States, but even there's very little. So you're safe to wait a couple more weeks, and that way you'll be in a good place when you go on that cruise.
Would you please ask the doctor if it's okay to get a third dose of shingles vaccine? I had two doses. I still get shingles occasionally.
Yeah, no, that's if you're up to date, you got the two, that's what you should, that's enough. We don't know whether a third dose, which would be a second booster, would actually help you, so I would not do that. If you're continuing to get shingles, despite the fact that you've been vaccinated and you've had previous shingles episodes, please discuss that with your physician. There's a possibility something else might be going on.
Doctor, I know someone, okay, it's me, who got the first shingles shot and doesn't remember when he got that. And now he's wondering if too much time has lapsed for the second shot to be effective. Should he start all over again?
Well, would this anonymous person, would we think it's like a year ago, 2 years ago,
Within the last 12 months.
Then go ahead and just get the second one.
All right, I'll tell him. What do you hear about this long COVID? There evidently is some research about maybe an explanation for why people are getting the fog, losing the taste, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so no explanation yet. There are various theories that are coming out. Now, as we've been talking, John, over the last several months, there's more and more papers being published reporting on very interesting research, trying to delve deeply into the underlying science behind long COVID. Why do people get long COVID? So there's various hormonal abnormalities that have been identified in people, different kinds of neurologic issues coming from the brain that have been identified in some people. So now what's going on is the scientists who are doing these research studies are trying to put together the available data to come up with hypotheses of what is behind long COVID. So we don't know yet. There's some really good work going on, and I would expect that as frequently as every week, if not more frequently, we're going to be seeing more research being done, really good research being done, trying to tease out why it is that some people get long COVID and why long COVID manifests the way that
Are these people still suffering from it, doctor, then? I mean, are there people still that don't have taste, smell, they're foggy, they're fatigued, all those things? Is that still?
Yeah, there's some people out there. A lot of the stuff that we saw in the beginning, though, of COVID with the taste and the smell, that's happening less frequently. But the brain fog, some shortness of breath, that long list of potential symptoms that people have with long COVID, there's still people like that out there.
I'm glad you're still out there. Dr. Jeffrey Copeland, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern's Lake Forest Hospital. Doc, will you join us next week?
I'm looking forward to it. Everybody take good care and get your COVID vaccine if you haven't.
There he is.